Anyone who has ever raised a child from birth to adulthood will tell you that they just don't know where the time went, especially if that child kept your heartaches and headaches to a minimum. But in our hustle and bustle world, it's very easy to lose track of that time and regret that we may have confused the urgent with what's really important. Our guest today reminds us that we have but 18 summers to get it all sorted out with those we love most in the world, our children. That's today on License to Parent. Welcome to License to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. Our host is the founder and director of Shepherd's Hill, Trace Embry, and I'm Rich Rosel. And Trace, you and I think, have experienced this 18-summer phenomenon ourselves since each of us have five kids of our own, and some of these, in both of our cases, are out of the house and on their own already, but I think today's guest will be able to shed some great light on really just how fast this time goes.
I'll tell you, Rich, and fly by it does. I remember, you know, old codgers telling me when I was younger, enjoy them while you got them. You know, they'll be gone before you know it. When you get my age, you know, time goes by much faster. I'm telling you, they were right. They were absolutely right. I'm hoping our guest today can shed some light on just how, you know, we can make the most of those 18 summers we have them under our wing.
That's right. Well, our guest is Michelle Cox. Michelle is a speaker and an author. She's written for FoxNews.com, for Woe Magazine for Women, for Focus on the Family, and Product Concept. She also writes a weekly food column for Fox News personality Todd Starnes. And she now has a new novel called Just 18 Summers, co-authored with Renee Gutteridge. And that novel is just out from Tyndale. And by the way, Michelle has been married to her favorite husband, who happens also to be her only husband, Paul, for almost 40 years. They have three grown sons and fine, perfect grandchildren. As they used to say in the old Westerns, no brag, just a fact.
That's right. Michelle, welcome to License to Parent.
Oh, it's a joy to be with you today.
You know, all I need to do, or needed to do, rather, was to see the title of your book, and a sentimental lump just kind of showed up in my throat because, you know, I feel I knew exactly where this is going to go even before I took a look at the book. Though this is a novel, there are some valuable lessons parents can pull from it. Tell us about the event or the events that inspired you to write Just 18 Summers.
I was at church one Sunday morning, and my pastor had just dedicated a baby. And as the parents turned to walk from the platform, he said, "Don't forget you have just 18 summers. Go make some memories." And the poignancy of that just slammed into me, particularly because my youngest son was getting married just a few weeks later. And I came up with the idea to do a gift book, and God had much bigger plans. And so we're currently working to develop a complete brand on the concept. And the release of our Just 18 Summers novel is an exciting component of that.
Many parents want to, and know they should, spend more time with their children, yet it doesn't always happen. I can certainly identify with that also. What are some of the most common reasons for this?
I think most parents just get busy. You know, we get so involved with paying the bills and putting dinner on the table and doing laundry and acting as mom's taxi service that it just doesn't click with us that our children aren't going to be there forever. Mm-hmm. I remember something that happened the last summer before our youngest son left home. My husband was a great dad. He owns a construction company. I called him at work one day, and I said, "Could we take a picnic and go to the mountains with Jason and his girlfriend spend the day?" He said, "Sure." I said, "You know, it's so busy on the weekends. We'll need to go on a Thursday." He said, "Honey, I can't. I'm slammed. It's my busy time of year." And I said quietly, "He won't be here next summer." And I heard a sharp intake of breath. And then my husband said, "What time do you want to leave?" And sometimes we just need those little wake-up calls that one day those summers are going to come to an end.
Yeah, you know, and that presupposes that we even have ears to hear those wake-up calls, doesn't it? We need to be attuned as godly parents with the will of God in some of these things.
Something I was going to toss in, I'm not a single dad. I'm a single income dad, if you will. My wife has stayed home with our kids as they've grown up, which has been wonderful. And I know that she has had more time to capture these memories and whatnot. But as a dad, I feel just like, you know, the construction owner there in that, wow, this is the busy time. This is this, that, and the other. And I've missed it I've missed a lot of things with my kids. Mm-hmm. Can you give us some more examples, some more things that parents can do, I guess, creatively to carve out some more meaningful time with their kids?
Well, I think it involves becoming more intentional. If you stop and think about it, we schedule car maintenance appointments, we schedule doctor's appointments. So besides the impromptu moments that we spend together as a family, why not schedule time, mark it out on our calendars that we're going to spend this time with our families? And they don't have to be big trips or expensive things. My son wrote a high school English paper on his most vivid childhood memory. And he wrote about going to the circus, but he actually didn't write about the circus itself. He wrote about the scavenger hunt that I had put together with clues scattered around the house that led to the boys finding the circus ticket. Mm-hmm. And that was his most vivid childhood memory, not the money we spent for the circus. And ironically, I don't remember one moment of the circus, but I can close my eyes and I can still hear the laughter of those little boys as they ran through my house. So sometimes the big memories come from the little moments that we spend with them.
I couldn't agree with you more. You know, I hear parents say that they spend quality time with their kids, and therefore their need for quantity time is diminished. Why is this a myth?
You know, I was at, on faculty for a conference this past weekend with New York Times bestselling author Cece Murphy, and he said something in his keynote that really struck home with me. He said, what we don't receive in childhood, we spend the rest of our lives seeking. And just knowing that our parents love us, that they're involved with us, that they care enough to give us their time, which is, you know, such a scarce commodity these days, but yet so important to our children. And I know Cease went on to tell about growing up knowing that his dad didn't love him. He's 81 years old now, and the pain in his voice still brought tears to my eyes. And so that's the message to parents. You have the chance now to pour into the life of your child, and you only have 18 summers to do that. Don't look back with regrets. Make those sweet memories. Enjoy those wonderful moments now, because you can't go back and rewind yesterday.
One thing that I know as a parent of five kids is it's difficult, even when you're trying to be intentional about the time you spend with your kids, when you have multiple kids, especially spanned over, you know, different age ranges, it's often difficult to judge or figure out the best way to divvy up your time even there. Have you got any thoughts on that or insight as to how to juggle the multi-child family?
You know, we tried to carve out time that we could spend on an individual basis with each child. And looking back, those are some of my most prized memories that I have tucked into my heart. Just time one-on-one or with my husband and myself with one of our sons, so we could just go out, do whatever they wanted to do, spend time together, talk about whatever was on their heart, and that made each of them feel special in their own way. And so that's a great way to do that. It takes a little planning, particularly if you have five children, but still is so worthwhile. I have a friend who alternates Wednesdays and goes and has lunch with his sons at school. So you can be creative and find different ways to do that.
That's good.
You know, I've noticed that kids and parents don't always value the same things, the things that parents think are important. Sometimes the kids don't. I want to share a story with you. I think the context of what we're talking about today merits it. I've shared it on this program in the past. But it's a story of a kid who just begged his dad religiously, day after day, week after week, to take him fishing. And finally, the dad, who was a busy CEO, he had a daytimer, and he planned out his Friday to take Johnny fishing. As things would happen, the dad has a heart attack and passes away. And at the funeral, they were asking Johnny, what was the most memorable time you ever had with your dad? And he said, the day he took off work a whole day to take me fishing. And it was sometime later that he was going through his dad's belongings, and he came across the Daily Planner, and he turned to that day, that Friday, and there was that one entry, and it said, took Johnny fishing, wasted day.
Oh, wow.
And I think that ought to speak to the parents listening, that what you might see is maybe a wasted day, your kid might see it as a very, very valuable day. But what do you do when you're a parent that really does want to spend time with your kids? And, you know, he says, I'd rather be playing video games or being with his friends. Is there a time that a parent needs to just step in and say, well, you know what? We're going to put the video game on hold. Their friends, you know, you can see them tomorrow, but we're going to go do this.
You know, video games will always be there. Mm-hmm. Time together as a family won't. And so, you know, to me, that's the big thing, is to be intentional with it and make family a priority, because, again, those are the roots that you're building in your child. And the communication and bonding that you put in place when they're at home, those are the things that will carry over when they're your adult children and you still want them to be part of your life.
Mm-hmm. How often do you see a cat's in the cradle effect, a kind of what goes around, comes around situation for parents who have chosen not to prioritize time with their kids when they were younger and in the home? Do you see kids of these parents who tend to continue the trend and be scarce as adults themselves?
You know, so many kids grow up in homes where they don't bond with their parents, where they don't, you know, where the family isn't close. And, you know, a lot of times that same thing is perpetuated from generation to generation. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as a parent who grew up in a home where many of my memories are memories that I don't want to have, my mother had severe emotional problems. My husband grew up in a home with a dad who was precious when he was sober, but violent when he wasn't. And so we could have carried that down to our sons. And when we got married, we determined we were going to love God, we were going to love each other, and that we were going to be the kind of parents that our kids would not go to bed afraid at night because of us. And with God's help and with his grace and the resources that he brought into our life, we were able to do that for our children. So, you know, I want to say to parents out there who maybe didn't grow up in a loving home, you can become that loving home for your child. And then they won't have anything but loving memories and good things to carry on to the family that they'll have someday.
That's good. Our guest today is Michelle Cox, co-author with Renee Gutteridge of the brand new novel from Tyndale called Just 18 Summers. Again, you'll find her and her book online at just18summers.com. This is Licensed to Parent with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Roslin. We'll be back with more conversation right after this. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face to face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Our program is Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential program for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. Trace Embry, our host. I'm Rich Rosel. And our guest today is a lady who's written a very interesting book called Just 18 Summers, talking about how time is so short with the kids that we've been entrusted by God to raise. Her name is Michelle Cox. And Michelle, we were talking during the break about ways that, parents can spend time with their kids. And I know the family vacation is always a big possibility. How important is it that families vacation together?
Well, I can share an example from my own family. We began vacationing every Thanksgiving for 10 days. We would go to Hilton Head Island and spend the week with our boys and ride bikes down the beach and just have a great week. It was a wonderful time to just really focus on our family without all the other distractions that are out there. And what I love now is that now that our sons are grown, they bring their families. And our whole family is together under one roof. And now our grandchildren are growing up having the same memories that their dads did. And so it, for us, it's been a wonderful thing to carry on to the next generation.
Videos and pictures. We talked about, you know, scrapbooking off mic here during the break. What do you do about a guy like Rich, guys like Rich and me who, you know, we're not real good at that. Thank God our wives are.
And to give my disclaimer on this, we did do, and I've heard a lot of my friends talk about this too, where with when the first child is born, you're taking pictures of everything more than you should, and maybe the video camera's out and whatnot. But I got a feeling real quick that I was missing out on their lives. I was recording the life's events going on, but I wasn't a part of those memories because I was on the other side of the camera. So talk about the balance there and what may be the value of the pictures and scrapbooks and how we can do it without getting lost on the wrong side of the camera.
Well, one of the things that becoming an older woman has taught me is that our memories are not as good as we think they are.
Oh, tell
and
me
so
about
those
it.
Pictures are wonderful things to pull out to remind us of the precious times that we've had together as a family. But I'd suggest that you make it a point to be in the pictures with your family as much as you can. That's one of the things I didn't do as much when my boys were smaller because I was the photographer in the family.
Yeah.
And with one of the things that we've done with Just 18 Summers, we started a parenting blog that's like an online magazine. And we have a staff of 18 writers who have different columns, and one of those is a photography column. And our photographer had a great suggestion for families, especially now that her children are up, you know, middle school and high school. She buys disposable cameras for everyone in the family, and they take their vacation from their perspective. And so they have tons of pictures with the whole family together, different family members. And so that's a great way to pull everybody into the process. I know of other families who have family vacation photo contest to see who can get the best photos from the week. And so those are fun ways that you can pull in lots of pictures to remember those special times by.
Yeah, I think we talk about digital technology here quite often. How has TV and now the digital media, what has that actually done for these 18 summers?
Well, yeah, you don't have to look very far to see that it's taken over a lot of people's lives. I sat in a restaurant recently, and I looked at a family waiting to get their table, and every family member was on some piece of technology, mm-hmm. either a Kindle or a cell phone or a video game, and nobody was talking.
Right.
And I thought, what a shame, because those times spent together around the family dinner table, those are the times when you get to hear about your child's day, what's going on in their lives, that type of thing. Hmm. And so I think, we need as parents to be more intentional about not only putting down the technology ourselves, but in making sure that our children do that as well.
Absolutely. I would say use it as a tool rather than a weapon. We talk about that a lot. You have Skype, which could be a tremendous advantage over what families have had in the past. So we certainly talked about the pictures and even the motion pictures. What kind of boundaries do you suggest in this area? For instance, I said in my home, no cell phones, no smartphones from here to church, because we take some of our extended family. I have a grown daughter, her husband, they ride to church with us. And I just say, listen, we're not, if you want to ride with us, save the gas, then that thing stays off. Because I've found that, you know, we've got five or six people in our minivan talking to five or six people outside the minivan. And I'm thinking, why didn't you just invite them to come with us? We'll pack them in here somewhere. But it makes for a very, I don't know, just something wrong about that. Tell me what I'm trying to say here. Michelle, what's wrong about five people talking to five people outside the minivan?
Hey, we went on vacation 1 year, and we had family members sitting in the same room Facebooking each other. So I know exactly what you're talking about. But again, I think a lot of it goes back to communication and being intentional as parents, setting those boundaries. Not just, you know, it's great that you did that for the ride to church, but parents also need to tell their kids, hey, your cell phone's not to be out during church.
Amen.
I see a lot of that happening anymore.
Amen.
And so I think as a family, that would be a great time to sit down to discuss when it's appropriate to use them and when it isn't, because kids aren't mind readers.
Right.
And so we as parents have to let them know what we want, what we expect from them.
We've talked about some situations that are coming up in churches nowadays where pastors are asking their congregants to tweet about the sermon that's going on,
mm-hmm.
which is almost saying, hey, you know, don't pay full attention to what I'm saying here,
right.
but instead, you know, be telling your friends how good I am. That's a problem, but I think it does come back to Trace talking about these are great tools that can be used for great things like Skype connections with family members and whatnot without going overboard.
And the people have the Word of God on their digital devices that they use, and that's their excuse for having it on a lot. But, I think the wise pastor says, we're going to read the Word of God from paper and ink, because for all I know, you could be surfing the net for, you know, whatever. But
exactly.
The back of your book says, quote, as summer flies by, each of these parents must learn about guilt and grace. What do you mean by that?
Well, yeah, sometimes we get to the end of those years and we look back and we feel guilty because we didn't spend more time with our children.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes there are situations with our children that make it difficult to spend that time together. But again, that's the message of just 18 summers is, you know, let's start when our children are born. Let's go all the way through and be intentional as parents that we are going to savor every moment, that we're going to seize all of them, that we're going to instill the character and integrity values in our children, but that we're going to have those fun moments and fun times together as well, because take it from a mom whose kids are all grown. Someday the time's going to come when you walk down the hall of your home and you give $1 million to be able to take your kids into bed one more time or to kneel down beside those beds and pray with them, but
no.
You can't do that. And so that's my message to parents now. God has given you this amazing gift.
Yeah.
Slow down. Enjoy it, because you can't go back and do it over again.
Well, I know the other night our daughter was with some friends out late. I say late. It was about 9:30. And Beth and I, my wife, we were just spent, and we were laying in bed. We retired early. And I looked at her. I said, because we have one 16-year-old at home. And I said, you better get used to this, because in a couple of years, this is as good as it gets right here. This is it. You know, this is it. That was kind of a bit of a wake-up call for her when I said that. How do parents know when to hold on to their kids and when to let them go?
Yeah, I think it's a slow process. Think of having a ball of twine like a kite. And when you're on the beach and you're flying the kite, you let a little bit of string out at a time. And it's the same way with parenting. We let a little bit of string loose and determine that our children are at a level where they're responsibly able to handle that level. And then we let a little bit more string out because, you know, that's what our job as parents is. God gives us this child to train, to rear, to instill values in, and then we have to let go. And that's hard to do. I mean, if I had my way, all my boys would be still here at the house, but then I wouldn't have grandchildren, so I guess it all balances out.
That's part of your job description as a mom, though, isn't it?
I think it is.
What counsel do you have for the mother or father who feel they didn't spend enough time with their kids? The 18 summers are past, now they're grown, and they're kind of mourning the fact that, you know, I spent too many hours at the office.
This is where I have to go lay down on the couch. this is my therapy, Michelle.
What do you say to that parent?
Well, you know, unfortunately, you can't go back and put memories where there weren't any memories to begin with, and you can't go back and do it over again. But there's always a fresh starting point. And that's where folks can start now and begin making good memories together as a family. And, you know, a lot of times there are scars from that period because you didn't bond as a family.
Right.
And it might take some extra effort, you know, to bridge that gap that's been caused by those times. But it's so worthwhile. I don't care how old you are. I mean, you know, I reference Cece Murphy. He's 81 years old. He's still mourning the loss of that love that he wanted from his father.
Yeah.
And so even adult children still want that. They still need that. So the words, I'm sorry, I love you, I want things to be different, those will go a long way. And then pray over the situation. And then a consistent effort to be the loving, supportive parent that you should have been before but that you want to be now.
Well, Michelle, we only have a few seconds left in the program, so I want to ask you this. What do you hope parents will take away from the stories in just 18 summers?
I hope they'll remember that 18 years sounds like a long time, but you really have just 18 summers, and to make some memories, to use those times to instill the character and values and life lessons that you want your children to have, to savor the sweetness of the moment, because you're going to blink twice. Trust me on this. You're going to blink twice, and they're going to be over.
Yeah.
And so to just seize the moments and enjoy the amazing gift that God's given you, and you'll be glad. You'll be so glad you did one day. Trust me on that. There's no finer thing that you could do with your life than to be a wonderful parent. And I hope that your listeners will join me at our website blog at just18summers.com. We have the parenting blog there with everything ranging from home decor to recipes to fun projects to do together, devotionals, because we want to help equip families for the journey, not only to enjoy it, but to be good and wonderful parents to our kids.
Amen.
Our guest today has been Michelle Cox. Michelle is the co-author with Renee Gutteridge of the brand new novel from Tyndale called Just 18 Summers. And as she just mentioned, you can find her and her book and lots of other things online at just18summers.com. Michelle, thank you so much for your time today. We've enjoyed having you on Licensed to Parent.
Thank you. I appreciated the opportunity.
It was a blessing. Thank you.
And again, that website, just18summers.com. And a reminder that you'll find us online as well at licensedtoparent.org. There you can hear archives of our past programs, discover our parenting blog, and learn more about our parent ministry, Shepherd's Hill Academy. That's a year-long residential program for teens in crisis, which is located just north of Atlanta, Georgia. While you're on the site, would you please consider becoming one of our ministry partners? Your financial support in any amount helps further the work we do with troubled teens and helps the outreach of Licensed to Parent to the moms and dads working hard to keep their kids from becoming troubled teens. Your donations are tax-free when you click on the donate button at the top of the page at licensedtoparent.org. That's licensedtoparent.org. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rossell. Thanks for listening, and please make plans to join us again next week to renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, you have 18 summers to train your children. If you don't, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.